Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new Vinegar Syndrome edition of Flesh Wound Horror. I'm Daniel Shine, and that is producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
So we're here tonight to cover some of the new Blu-rays, and we'll just get right into it. Why not? So the first one we're going to cover is a 1989 film from Italian cinema legend Umberto Lenzi, and that is Hitcher in the Dark. This one follows young and handsome Mark Glazer roams around the southeastern United States in his decked out camper, picking up single female hitchhikers. Once he has the unsuspecting travelers trapped inside his RV, Mark savagely assaults and then murders them by slashing their throats, taking photos of the grisly aftermath to add to his macabre collection. But everything changes when he happens to meet Daniela, a spitting image for his deceased mother, who soon becomes the victim of his most savage torments. Vinegar Syndrome presents this Blu-ray, brand new 4K restoration of its original 35mm negative. All right, so I hadn't revisited this one in quite some time. It was pretty cool to see them putting it out on Blu-ray, and very downbeat, kind of grim for this era. As we got into the late 80s, a lot of Italian horror movies, I mean, there's always exceptions, of course, but tended to be a little more light, goofy, B-movie ish. This one's definitely on the more grim side of things. It was actually called, in grand Italian fashion, The Hitcher 2 in certain territories to piggyback the success, obviously, of the Rutger Hauer film. I like this one. I will say I think the lead is not fantastic. I don't know. I you know, you got kind of a sort of Norman Bates kind of vibe, but I just didn't love his performance. He didn't really, I don't know, creep me out. But this is definitely sleazy as hell. You're really right at the very end of the Italian horror run before you had that big drought. Everything was kind of going over to TV. Umberto Lenzi was actually one of the last holdouts, though. I mean, he still managed to make films, you know, right up until the bitter end, and still remained fairly relevant. Reasonably well made, fun, sleazy. I liked it. What did you think, Todd?
Yeah, I kind of disagree about the lead. I think that was kind of his. He wasn't like the type you'd expect. I think that's what made it work. And I strongly disagree also, because I would love to take a vacation with him and hang out. but I liked where they were going with the lead. That never bothered me. I get where you're coming from, though. Mm-hmm. But even with that, it doesn't really hurt your enjoyment of it. I think Dan just didn't relate to him.
You feel the time period in this one, though, too. I mean, because this is pretty close to when he made Nightmare Beach or Welcome to Spring Break. I thought it was funny, the dude that was like breaking the window to steal a CD player. Which, I mean, yeah, lots of sleaze, lots, decent bit of gore. I don't know. Just, I wasn't getting that proper creeper vibe from him. But it's certainly an entertaining film. This one just, again, reminds me, Umberto Lenzi, he managed to make movies in every genre and very underappreciated. I compare him a lot to Sergio Martino, because he wasn't one note. He was really able to do a lot of different things and make his mark in a lot of different genres. I do recommend this one. I think it's worth picking up. Not going to blow your mind, but it's Lenzi. It's always entertaining. And I'm very glad that they put this out on Blu-ray. Another time dated thing that I thought was funny was that Madonna would actually be doing this beach concert, which biggest even, star in the world.
Then. Yeah, even then, that was complete bullshit.
I also, there's a lot of like funny little dated dialogue where the Mickey Rourke comment, like heartthrob Mickey Rourke before
he I was dying
before he looked like he just had his face run through a I don't know, a sandblaster or something. But yeah, I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. It had been a long time. I'm glad they put this out. On the extras front, commentary track, Sam Dagan and Cat Ellinger. I don't even need to get into that. It is so in depth and it is awesome and it covers everything you could possibly want. So rating the movie, I am a 3 on the movie. It's definitely above average and a good time. How about you, Todd?
Well, I mean, I do really like this, but I'm a 3.5.
Okay. I can see you in the RV just blasting. Let me tell you something about my best friend. Just doing a buddy road trip movie with the dude. I figured that's a Todd movie. All right. So now this one I'm very curious to talk about. Another one, certainly had it on VHS, had it on DVD, and now Blu-ray. And that is the 1995 film from director Vincent Robert, The Fear. Keep getting Texas Chainsaw vibes.
You know, I'll tell you right now with what I'm doing. I have the soundtrack and I thought it was right in front of me on my CD wall, but I'm having trouble finding it. So that's me turning on the light, trying to find it. Cause I was going to
pull it. Oh, shit. I like it. Let it go off once in a while because it kind of adds to the mood. The ambiance.
Okay. Well, I just don't want y'all to think I'm doing like not paying attention. I was actually trying to find something for the show. But oh well,
that works. No, I was like, that's actually kind of cool. I want that every show now. So all right, so this is a 1995 film from director Vincent Robert, The Fear. So Richard is a college student who's decided to focus his attention on the study of fear and has invited a group of friends up to his family's secluded mountain cabin for the weekend, during which they've agreed to participate in his project and share what terrifies them. While the experiment seems harmless at first, when it comes time for Richard to reveal what he's afraid of, the answer comes in the form of a strange, lifelike wooden carving of a man which has been in the cabin for generations, and his name is Morty. As the friends attempt to enjoy their wilderness seclusion, Morty comes to life and begins stalking and killing the youngsters in ways that go far beyond their most horrific nightmares. All right, so I can remember vividly this hitting the video store. Morty, it seemed like, oh wow, maybe we get a new slasher horror icon here. Very striking character, and looks really cool in the film as well. Very creepy.
Someone asked me when I posted I was watching this, is this basically Groot as a slasher? And I just had a laugh at that. I was like, kind of.
Wow, that, yeah, I didn't make that connection, but that's actually cool. They keep saying they're doing these Marvel horror movies. I want Groot as a slasher now. You can make I Am Groot
scary.
Certainly, I'm just picturing him like killing some girl in the shower.
You know what? As long as he channels his, as long as he channels his Evil Dead, I'm good.
Ooh, I can just picture like every like kid crying in the theater. Like, what's Grant doing, mommy?
As I stand and cheer.
Holy shit. This needs to be a short clip now. Well, actually, I kind of fear the legal wrath of Marvel, but somebody should do that. Not me though. So anyways, we just set awesomeness that this movie's never gonna live up to. All right, so I was a little bit kind of indifferent to this movie back then. I remember getting it. really odd vibe. I mean, it's if you're looking for Morty just kind of knocking people off for 90 minutes, I think you might be a little disappointed. Very cool to see Ann Terkel of Humanoids from the Deep, one of my all-time favorite Roger Corman movies, in here. Very beautiful. And still beautiful now on the extras.
You can't forget the casting of a legendary master of horrors,
Wes Craven. That is one thing that stood out quite a bit, because I was like, well, this must be the real deal, because like Wes Craven's in it. And I know back in the day that one of the Apex DVDs was cut to a horrible level. Like, it made no sense.
All the Apex DVDs were. They're only an import DVD was uncut. So this is the first time on a digital format it's been uncut.
Okay, yeah. Because
In the U.S., I should say. In the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, this one gets... this one gets kind of twisted, delves into some territory. I mean, it's not graphic, but you know, it does touch on some incestuous type stuff that you wouldn't necessarily expect at that particular time for certainly what I was renting at the time in terms of slashers. It does pick up towards the end, like I said. I never quite felt the tension like I should. I did enjoy this a lot better than I did back then, because I do think it's unique. Santa's Village was cool to see, which I know you have to know well.
Yeah, I've been there.
I have too.
I'm not sure if it's the same one as the, because there's two out here, and I've been to both. I don't think it's the same one as, what was that recently? Sleigh Bells? I think it's the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other one out here.
Spooky Dan flick. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the one near Big Bear. I don't know. It seems like Apex likes to shoot their films near Big Bear.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember going there, and No, actually, I think they do kind of update about it in the
features.
I guess, though, it's not like Santa's Village is an accessory for what it's called now. Like, it's or something like
if you're. Yeah, that actually does sound right. Yeah. And that was something more recently. I don't know about now after all this COVID shit. But
yeah. Yeah, I was going to say I can imagine a smaller one like that would take a hit. But anyways, I don't know if this is one I would recommend for if you're looking for like a big body count kind of movie, but I still had fun. It's just one of those weird oddities that I don't know, doesn't quite hit, yet it's still kind of interesting, and it does pick up quite a bit in the finale. And everybody in this just felt so 1995.
See, and that's the thing. And like, I watched it back when it came out, and I was like, yeah, it was all right. I mean, but really, what was I to expect from the company that gave us Jack Frost? Although I love Jack Frost, don't get me wrong. They're not known for their high mark. That is their high mark, probably.
It is. Yeah.
But well, I mean,
Uncle Sam came out on that too. Don't forget.
Yeah, but that was not. That was
in-house.
Yeah, I think that's. I don't even know if this was in-house, but I know that was picked up from William Lustig. So, but now you threw me off. this one. I liked it some more because you mentioned the 95, and I've been rewatching a lot of 90s films. Just missed that era, and there's a lot of stuff like I didn't really pay attention to back then. And I'm like looking at on new eyes, and this was one of them. It's not the greatest, but I had so much fun with it. And the soundtrack, like I mentioned earlier, I do have the soundtrack somewhere here. It's probably behind my monitor because the monitor is behind the CD wall now. But the soundtrack introduced me to Isham, who did the Morty's theme, basically. It's called The Fear.
Oh, okay.
And then his group, Nodus. Which, if you don't know, is Satan in Reverse. Life After Death was on there. It also had ICP, not my thing, but a couple other like horrorcore rappers. Wow. So
ICP was new at that point as rappers, weren't they? 95?
95. I'm trying to think their first album, Carnival Comet. Yeah, they were around for about 3 years at that point.
Okay.
They'd already dropped three albums. It was before The Great Malenko, which I think is probably when they really broke out. But I know way too much about them, but
Todd went through that Juggalo phase back.
No, I knew a girl.
We all knew a Juggalo in our lives.
A Juggaho, is that what it is? I forget.
I think that I should know more. I mean, I know a little bit about them for the wrestling connection, but that's awesome. You have the soundtrack though. That seems like that would be pretty rare now.
You're probably right. I should look it up.
Yeah. I was going to say Todd's,
that's the thing with CDs. I won't get rid of them because I know they're never going to come back in print.
That is true. That is true. I don't, music's not my strong point, but, you've got a pretty awesome collection. Even I was looking over it and I was like, oh shit. That's some of this I've never heard of.
No, more of it you heard of. Oh no, you can still get the CD if you want the Fear soundtrack. You can get it off Amazon, new or used. Cheapest ones, $13-$14.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Soundtrack was pretty good. But yeah, this is one I still kind of enjoyed it. I don't want to sell this as like a fantastic film that's going to blow your mind because it's not. But
just, I mean, if you read the description about a tree man in the woods trying to kill people and you want more than that, I think you're probably watching the wrong movie. You hear the what it's about, and if you haven't seen it and go in with an open mind, I think there's fun to be had. Because even like Dan said, he wasn't a huge fan back in the day, and it wasn't one of my favorites. Even we were starred for content then too, but yeah. I think it's, I don't know if this one's more of just the time period, just being such a time capsule, but, yeah, I think this is well worth checking out.
Yeah. This era in particular, I have a nostalgia for it. So like a lot of stuff that came out then was always a big deal just because, like you said, it's the dry period. And I remember stuff like also from Apex, like Little Witches, the Kraft knockoff that Clea DuVall debuted in. They did some like Michael Dudikoff stuff, like Moving Target with Billy D. Williams. So yeah, they
had all I'm going to say is I'm going to stop you right there. VSA, please.
Serial Bomber, Lori Petty.
I don't want to see that.
I remember a lot of like random stupid shit, but this, like I said, I will give credit though, super creepy killer that could have been utilized maybe a little better in some ways, but I still enjoyed the weirdness of this movie.
I hope we get Fear too, and it's not somewhere lost with Jack Frost too.
Yes, absolutely. On the extras front, this one is stacked. They went all out. We get a commentary track with the director, another commentary track with the executive producer, Greg H. Sims, which has tons of info, and we get a 50-minute making of documentary, which has interviews with everyone. Yeah. So if you are a fan of this, good God, Vinegar Syndrome delivers on the Blu-ray. Holy
Definitely.
Shit.
Uh-huh.
On the movie front, I am also a 3 on this. You know what? Because it is unique. Like I said, there's certain expectations you may have in a slasher sense that might not be met, but I still had fun with it, and it does pick up towards the end. So, yeah, check it out. Well, how about you, Todd?
I'm a 3.5. I think I like this one a little bit more than you. And if you're a 90s kid, well, no, would you have to be an 80s kid? I don't even know. If you missed the 90s, I think this is a nice time capsule. If you've never experienced it, this is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it is.
Don't watch Axum for accuracy.
No. It's hard to define that, but like Yeah, it does. It just feels very 1995. So if you know that era, again, I can remember picking it up. There is a sequel, by the way, The Fear 2 Halloween Night, I believe. Yeah. So I don't know if they...
I pulled it out because now I want to watch.
Yeah, I remember that less than the first one, to be honest.
I remember liking that one more.
Yeah, I maybe. Yeah, I don't want to commit to that, but maybe. And I don't know. Well, maybe Vinegar Syndrome has that too.
Hopefully. I mean, like I said, hopefully it's not lost somewhere with Jack Frost too.
Hopefully not. Yeah, I'd like to check that out again at some point. I want to say there was a little more from Morty in that, if I remember right. And I could, my memory could be faulty.
Yeah.
I think he was a little more hands on. But yeah. Oh, and goddamn, I wish, and I wanted to back then, but my hair wouldn't cooperate. But I did want the dreadlock look at one point.
God.
My head didn't work. I would have rocked dreadlocks. Lord. Look at me right now. I'd be like full on Rob Zombie if I could grow dreadlocks, but my hair just doesn't, you know, not enough of it anymore for that to work.
I'm just going to come on.
I'm going to get a dreadlock wig and I'm going to wear it on the show. I can still rock that shit. It's going to happen now. You just see him coming out of the hat.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to be doing, I'm saving it. Please do it. You know, I had a drag wig when I did Rob Black for Halloween and I was so drunk when I went home. I saw in the middle of the street the like next day in front of Caesar's house. I was like, is that a dead cat? And he's like, that's your fucking wig.
That's awesome. All right. So we're going to move on to the Giallo collection, which before we get into the movies, obviously separate. This is the Forgotten Gialli Volume 3 set. And
you know your lid's on backwards, right?
Yeah, it probably was because I removed them all. But nonetheless.
Well, if you're going to show it again. Show us the box.
I will show it again.
You had one job, Dan.
There you go.
There you go. Is that boobs on the cover?
Beautiful. No, you scared me.
I know, that's why I did that.
I was like, I didn't think that. I'm usually pretty good about spotting, although they're animated boobs, so I'd say that'd be okay if they were, but I know they're not.
They're not really animated, Dan. It doesn't move. Animation implies movement.
But they're not real. You know what I mean. God damn it. All right, so moving on. To our first Giallo of the evening, which is a 1975 film from director Armando Crispino. And this one, excuse me, a wave of sudden and violent suicides have gripped Rome and are being blamed on sunspots. Simona, a young pathologist with an unhealthy obsession with death, has become increasingly interested in this strange phenomenon. But with the discovery of the body of a young woman, an apparent victim of a self-inflicted gunshot, Simona finds herself thrust into a terrifying mystery and conspiracy to cloak actual murders as suicides, pardon me. And the nearer she comes to unraveling the truth, the more in danger she is to entering the sights of a deranged killer who might be a lot closer to home than she realizes.
Did you, for our audio listeners, did you state the name of the movie?
Autopsy, yes.
I didn't remember if you did. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Autopsy, 1975, director Armando Crispino, who is also known for his other horror film, The Dead Are Alive, which Code Red put out a while back. All right. So this one, that solar flare thing, is kind of an actual like urban myth that I know was kind of a thing. Like a lot of people had talked about. I want to say I read a book about different like sun sort of myths and back in the day. So yeah.
There was always a bunch of dumb people too. So it's not just now.
Yeah, there's always stupid people, I suppose. We haven't come very far, but so I really love, I mean, the opening of this, the just the cadavers coming back to life and the suicide montage. I mean, this one goes hard at the beginning with Simona, played by the beautiful Mimsy Farmer, and her hallucinations. Definitely one of the more gruesome beginnings. There's not really, like, I mean, it doesn't have the giallo trope of, like, the over-the-top murders per se, but it is definitely gory, you know, with the corpses and very, very kinky. There's actually even some borderline triple X art that pops up at certain points. And I thought it got pretty suspenseful with the sort of torture art pieces, museum type stuff that they had during that particular stalking scene. I'm trying not to give too much away. But I like this one. It does kind of settle into a more standard, familiar giallo with, you know, Inheritance and all that sort of thing. But I still really like it. I think it's a really strong film, even though it kind of ends in just not in any kind of a bad way. Just, you know, it kind of comes together in a very, oh, okay, I've kind of seen this before.
Yeah.
Blue Underground put the DVD out a while ago, and God, Anchor Syndrome did a great job.
Anchor Bay put out it, and then Blue Underground was just a repress. So
okay, yeah. What did you think of this one? I always have a tough time with it because I just wish it had kind of ended more with a bang, because the beginning is so strong.
Yeah, that's my big complaint. Well, I did really enjoy it. It needed a way stronger ending. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I think it's still a good ride. I mean, just a little too predictable when we come to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and it's a shame too, because every time I go back and watch this, and just that opening with the suicides, the machine gunned kids, I was like, holy shit, this one. I remember when I first saw it, I was like, wow, okay, this is going hard. At the time, you know, I mean, obviously I've seen a lot of giallo since, but I mean, this wasn't like the first giallo or anything, but it was among an early wave from what I remember. And yeah, just like, give me more. And Ray Lovelock as the boyfriend, Euro sleaze royalty, Euro horror, Euro action. I mean, he's a big, big name. Always great to see him. And a lot of this, there's a lot of PC, not very politically correct moments in this one as well. Women very forgiving of some pretty bad behavior for sure. I like the creepy, what would you call him? Not mortician.
What would you call him?
I'm struggling for the word, but I guess mortician, tech, whatever. wouldn't really trust him around the bodies, especially when he's just kind of sitting there like caressing it. And I was like, nobody had an issue with that. But coroner, that's what I was looking for. I'm dumb. But overall, this is still really good. I just, man, it could have been a classic. That was just my only issue. It really could have been a lot more. So before I rate it, Vinegar Syndrome, being Vinegar Syndrome and always a fantastic company, these aren't just single movies that are put in the box and the box is just your extra. This also has, first it has an archival theatrical intro from the director when he's since passed. We get editing and rhythm, an interview with editor Danielle Alabiso, All of these are hosted by the director's son, Francesco Crispino, who's a film historian. And he also does the autopsy papers, which is an interview with him on his dad. Talks a lot about him. Black Hole Sun, which is a featurette on Armando Crispino. They talk a little bit about his other work, Dead or Alive, of course. So they absolutely knock it out of the park. What a great deal to get all three of these in the box and with extras. I mean, come on. So rating this one. So my rating is actually pretty high. All things considered, I'm still giving it a 4, but that kind of tells you that like it could have reached a huge high territory. It could have been up there with some of the greats if it just, I don't know, brought something a little more unique towards the reveal and everything. But having said that, this movie slays it. This movie slays it for most of its runtime. Very, very kinky, very twisted. What say you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little lower because that ending really didn't, you know, like we said earlier, I'm a 3.5, but well worth watching.
Sweet, sweet. All right, so that's Autopsy. And somebody had a question for me earlier, and maybe you have the answer to this because I couldn't remember offhand. They asked me right before showtime. Do they release these separate, or are these solely box exclusive? In the other two sets, did they come out separate? I couldn't remember.
No. I believe with the Volume 1 that... when they ran out of the box, they sold them individually, or some out of the box were I saw being sold or traded. So I don't know if people like did it. I don't remember, but the official after they released the standard edition of Volume 1, which is a normal Vinegar Syndrome clear case with a wrap that is similar to the box, and it's all three films in a one, you know, three disc. Case.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, I wanted to answer you. Like, I literally got that message right before, so I couldn't check. But, there you go. But I will tell you, these sets are really worth it. Yeah. They're really, really cool sets. All right. So, moving on to our next film of the evening, which is, I definitely think it's our most rare. Of the evening, and that is Crazy Desires of a Murderer from director Filippo Walterotti. And this one, the Countess Elena has just returned to her family's grand old castle, where her paralyzed father, an apparent clairvoyant, and strange younger brother with an unhealthy interest in taxidermy reside. Almost immediately after arriving, one of Alina's friends who is visiting the castle is shockingly murdered and has her eyes plucked out of their sockets. While suspicion falls on Alina's brother, a curious police inspector, who I'm going to talk about, begins to investigate, believing there to be more to the killing than meets the eye. However, sleuthing proves no match for this maniac as the body count steadily rises. So this one definitely blends the giallo and gothic horror, and I think pretty well. I really want to put over the inspector actor in this one. His name is Corrado Gaipa. Apologize if I'm saying the name wrong, but I believe I'm right on that. Has a couple pretty badass moments. If you liked Daniel Craig if you liked his inspector in that Knives Out. There we go.
I did get a kind of that vibe on this.
Yeah, he's like a Daniel Craig representing us hefty dudes. it was pretty badass. I was like, man, I wish that dude should have been like the Italian Columbo. He's a good, he kind of mind fucks everyone, and he gets a particularly badass moment towards the end of this film where I was like, oh shit, okay, nice. He's more hands on than I thought. So I really dug this one, and it's definitely rare because I'm quite certain I haven't seen it. And I don't believe this has any kind of a previous release. Yeah. In fact, no, it definitely didn't. Not here anyways, not in right. America. So this was a first time watch. And I really had a good time. I mean, this one perfectly blends gothic horror and the giallo. You know, I mean, you can kind of maybe guess who done it to a degree, but I think this has a little something for everybody who likes these kind of movies, from, you know, the gratuitous nudity, really cool kills. Obviously the Italians had a love of their eyeball trauma. So they definitely channel the greats, Fulci and Argento, with that here. I don't know. This was one that maybe I just seeing it for the first time, but I had a blast. Everybody plays their roles very well. And what did you think of this one, Todd? Was this a first watch for you, or did you manage to get like some super rare version of it?
No, this was actually a first one for me too. And I think with you, I think it really stood out that way because it was a first time viewing. And I did, you know, really enjoy it. I don't think it's the best giallo, but I think it's pretty goddamn entertaining. And if you haven't seen it, it's a nice surprise in the set. Cause, well, I think out of this set, the only one people, a lot of people going into have seen is The Autopsy. So I think that's the biggest title out of this, but I like that we're getting these sets and we have some that aren't, and some we haven't even seen, so that's even better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they did a pretty good job. I mean, there's a lot going on in this one, so certainly one you want to sit down and focus on. A lot of what the fuck scenes. I thought the lesbian charades was kind of funny. Everybody kind of, again, as I said before, with the fear is very 1977 in this particular film. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not saying it stands up with the Titans or anything, but I love me some gothic horror and I love giallo, and I thought this blended it all quite well. And it's pretty rare. I mean, I'm not going to say I've seen every giallo ever made. There's still certainly a lot that are hard to.
We've probably seen about half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably an impressive number. Maybe a little more than half. Yeah, there's so many that are made. I love, God, I hope they keep hammering out these box sets.
I'm sure they will. They seem to be doing well. We're already on volume 3, and what is that, a year? So
yeah, it hasn't been more than a year, I believe, since the first one. So keep up the pace. I want to see more of these. So on the before we rate it, on the extras front, there is an interview, Crazy Memories of an Actor, an interview with Giuseppe Colombo, who played Frank Hoffman in this film. Pretty good little interview. It runs like 15 minutes. It's always funny with, and I've noticed this having actually met some of these guys and through the years, the Italians will, in interviews, will a lot of times like casually shit talk different people, which is funny. I know there's a lot of like jealousy between some of the directors and everything, you know, who's the master sort of stuff. So he has a couple little comments that I thought were funny, but good interview. Some solid info. He talks about his producing work. So again, another fantastic film with extras on top of it. So let's rate this one. I am also a 4 on this. I like this. I really like this one a lot. It's one I'll definitely watch again. How about you, Todd?
Yeah, I think, man, this was hard because
I love Giallo. So if my ratings are high,
yeah,
shoot me. I love Giallo.
No, I get that. And that's why I've gone back and forth on a lot of these. I don't think it's better than what we've already talked about in this set. I think because it's a first time watch, it's a lot more, you know, exciting to, I guess.
That is true. Yeah.
It's so I'm sticking with 3.5 on this one.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. Still recommended.
Oh, highly recommended. Absolutely. I always struggle. And I mean, of course we just had the Giallo special, but a lot of people will ask like, well, if I'm getting into it, where to start? And it's a very hard question because it really depends what you're looking for. Cause if you look at our Giallo series, you know, some people want like the ones that as closely resemble a slasher, others like the sort of attack.
And don't forget, you can watch Danby in the Elitist as he puts down Sleepless the whole episode and whole series.
I don't hate Sleepless.
Do you want me to go to my DMs, motherfucker?
I don't hate it. Well, I wish that movie, like, honestly, if it had lived up to the first 10 or 15 minutes or so. But anyways, well, you can go back and listen to the war files on our challenge specials.
Just finished the other day.
But I will say, I got to really say, rather than giving the boring answer of Argento, which is a good answer, obviously, it is. The classics, but Sergio Martino. Don't forget Sergio Martino. All the Colors of the Dark. Great one.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it's Argento's the best gateway, because if they start with, I don't know, what was the one we reviewed on the other one that was like,
I mean, Deep Red, Bird with the Crystal Plumage.
No. I'm saying going the other way. If they start with one that is, honestly, Bird with the Crystal Plumage is not a first one, I don't think. It's a little too, but see, with that one, I think you'll still be able to, like, okay, I liked it. I want to go see more. There were some of the other ones we reviewed that were, you know, so far away from the horror element in the Giallo, you know, spectrum, that I think starting someone with one of those would be a bit disservice to them.
It's a hard answer because, I mean, like, we all definitely love Giallo and
Bennett. Okay, I'm just going to say, just watch Tenebrae first. That's all.
No, that's a good answer. That's a good answer for sure. All right, so.
Or New York Ripper. Well, yeah, definitely, but.
Yeah, if you're looking certainly for.
That's slashery.
Body count slashery. Bay of Blood, of course, which we also covered. Yeah. All right, so 1972 film Murder Mansion from director Francisco Lara Polyp. All right, so on a dark, foggy night in the countryside, a group of apparent strangers all find themselves stranded at an old Gothic mansion. Deciding to spend the night and look for help for the following morning, the group pair off for bed. As the night wears on, increasingly strange events begin to occur, culminating in a murder. Tensions and suspicions rise, and fear mounts that the ghosts of the mansion have risen from the grave, especially when more bodies turn up. But is the explanation behind these ghastly events truly supernatural? Okay, so this is another one, kind of Giallo blended with Gothic horror. And I kind of like that sort of old dark house Giallo mashup. This one's actually a Spanish Italian co-production, this is 72. So this is still the Franco regime in Spain. So this one's a little bit more restrained in terms of gore and sleaze, so if that's what you're looking for, you may not quite get it here, but I really thought this one brought it in terms of the Gothic horror element. almost might work, even if you're not a big giallo person, it might work on for gothic horror fans. I thought that some of the shots when they're the foggy mansion as they're driving up to it, and you have that dude walking with the scythe and everything. There's some really cool visuals. The graveyard. This is one of those ones, because I mean, I know there's some people out there that don't love giallos that, you know, I've tried to get into it and have failed. But I feel like this one's still got enough going on in terms of the atmosphere that might still draw you in. There's a lot of funny lines. I never bother with women who despise me. and yeah, this one's more. Yeah, I don't want to say too much. I'm trying to dance around twists and turns, but I really liked it because this one does have some goes certain directions I wasn't necessarily expecting. What did you think of this one, Todd?
I enjoyed it. I don't think it's my favorite of the bunch. I mean, I've seen this one before previously. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something about this one I'm not huge into, but I think it's, I don't know. What exactly was it about this one that like you were,
well, I really enjoyed Evelyn Stewart, who, of course, I mean, she's, again, Euro horror royalty. Well, she was also in Fellini's La Dolce Vita, so, I mean, she's had a hell of a career. But she was in The Psychic with Lucio Fulci, Syndicate Sadists, a personal favorite from Umberto Lenzi, Case of the Scorpion's Tale for Martino. She did Bloodstained Butterfly for Tessari.
Well, yeah, I like her going in. This one, I don't know. I like the other two better, but I don't hate this one. I think I'm trying to figure out how to put it. I do agree there's enough on this one to it's not like too light of I don't even know how to put it.
I think it's this is one, like I said, I don't think you have to necessarily be a full-on giallo fan.
Okay.
It could also be one of those ones like, well, obviously if you're listening to our review, you know it's a giallo, but it could be the one like, hey, just check out this horror movie.
Yeah.
This one did have a lot of play back in the day. I know a lot of people little bit older than Todd, not much, but maybe just a little bit older, who saw it on TV, drive-in circuit. Revisiting it, I still like this one quite a bit. I do recommend it. As far as this set goes, this definitely fits well with Crazy Desires. I guess Autopsy kind of stands out a bit more. This is an interesting set.
Yeah,
it really is.
I think even though while we really enjoyed the first one, I think that was probably the weakest set out of all of them. I think volume 2 is the strongest and this one's just behind 2. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's worth picking up. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not. I mean, the transfers are beautifully done. I love the giallos in general. Yeah, I think it's their second best giallo set as of right now. Well worth grabbing.
Absolutely. I've got them all. I will continue to grab these because, yeah. I mean, Vinegar Syndrome, I've said it before, my favorite company. More. I want every giallo ever made. That might be ambitious, but I want them all. Yeah.
And what are we going to rate this one?
I rate this one a 3.5. Definitely check it out. I have to say, I don't think I disliked anything on any of these sets.
Yeah.
I've actually at least enjoyed everything.
So. I'm a 3 on it.
Okay.
So I did enjoy it, but.
Sweet. And
But just before
there is Lady of the Mansion, an interview with actress Evelyn Stewart, aka Ida Kali. Really worth, like I said, Evelyn's been in some huge, well, huge to me, certainly, films. She was in Eagles Over London, the Enzo Castellari flick, Unholy Forest, spaghetti western that I like quite a bit, Weekend Murders. I mean, I could continue to name drop. So this is definitely worth it for Evelyn Stewart fans. She's very creepy in this one. And like I said, this one's got some pretty cool twists and turns, too. So I think you'll like it. All right.
Nope. I see you're trying to wrap. Before we go, we should, since we're in the midst of the Black Friday flash sale, or
yes.
We're in the middle of the halfway to Black Friday flash sale, which they do every year. And, you know, before Black Friday also.
Yeah.
So we should probably talk about what was announced, and there's a couple up for speculation. So yeah. I know first we're going to do the 4K, the VSU, which I know is people are kind of not happy with.
I remember really liking Six String Samurai. It's an oddball flick for sure. 1997, I believe it came
I think that's probably the biggest issue, because when the VSU line was announced, it seemed like we were going to get more mainstream stuff, like a Beastmaster. This one, I don't think, is like the same caliber. I'm glad we're getting it, but I think, you know, something, this is more something on the lines of Tammy and the T-Rex, which I guess is kind of the inspiration for the line. I think people were just expecting something more mainstream. I love this because it's pure. This is something we'd want to see from Vinegar Syndrome. The line's new. It's still evolving. I think just coming out hard with the Beastmaster, which is, you know, not really a genre. Well, it's not really horror genre.
I mean, Beastmaster is a film that if you came up in that era, most everybody saw it. It's all, you know, Coscarelli. Yeah, it inspired a TV show and two sequels, which, speaking of which, I'd love it if they at least get two. I could live without three, but goddamn, Carrie Wuerr, give me two, please. Give me two. And God, that set is beautiful. Holy shit, did they do a good job on Beastmaster. But I'm happy with Six String Samurai. Like I will say, it's not going to be a movie everybody's going to like. But it did have some buzz back then. Like it's not like I've heard some people is like, what the hell is Six String Samurai? And I'm like, well, you know, back in the late 90s, I knew what it was. It was definitely a movie that I remember discussions with people like, oh, I want to get a hold of it. Yeah, I'm good with it. We'll certainly have a review. I'm not going to go into my thoughts now because we'll definitely be reviewing that when it comes. But yeah, I'm good with it. I'm happy. Six String Samurai on 4K. My God.
Yeah.
Who else but Vinegar Syndrome would deliver that?
Exactly. I mean, shit. We would have been happy with a Blu-ray, and then we get a 4K. That's even better. Another one announced is Surf 2, which what year is Surf 2? Of course I don't have that in front of me. But the cool thing about it, if you've never seen it, it's a you know, a comedy from the 80s. It's the first time ever that they were going to release a new director's cut that's 20 minutes longer. So besides the theatrical cut, which you haven't seen, I think it's hilarious, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. You also get the new director's cut. So I'm really interested to see that. Are you already a fan of Surf 2, Dan, or is this going to be a first time when we get it?
I don't think it's a first time. My memory is a little spotty. It's a sex comedy, right? Or not?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not like full Porky's, but.
Yeah, I that's what I was trying, because I was trying to remember it. And of course, again, this is back VHS, and my memory just wasn't great on this one, which is good because I'll be at least somewhat fresh. I might see it and then it'll start coming back. But
And then we have two of the box sets that got announced is the Cardona Collection Volume 1.
Yes.
Which, you know, Mexican director. And the only thing we have announced so far in that is the Ultra Gory Treasure of the Amazon. So, mm-hmm. you know, which is, you know, very, you know, it's a nice violent cannibal film. So I'm curious to see what else is paired with that, but I'm looking forward to that either way. That title alone is, you know, piqued my interest. Besides that, the one that really got me excited that Dan didn't even notice, I told him, and that was that they announced the made-for-television murders thriller set, which has the one I'm most hyped about, Are You in the House Alone, with Blythe Danner and Dennis Quaid. Calendar Girl Murders with Tom Skerritt and Sharon Stone, so that'll be fun. And one I haven't seen that I'm looking forward to, with one of our flesh wound favorites, Elijah Wood, a very young Elijah Wood, in 1991's Child of the Night. It kind of sounds like he's going to be a child whore, but I don't know. Are you familiar with this one already, Dan, or is Child of the Night?
Well, I certainly have not seen the Elijah Wood child.
I don't know if that's what it is. But
I want I just to clarify, Treasure of the Amazon, again, it's been a little while, but if that's the Cardona flick, I think that's the Donald Pleasance movie. I think that's more of an adventure type film, if I remember right. But maybe
let me read you the exact quote from this press release. Headlined by the ultra gory Treasures of the Amazon, which rides neck and neck along some of the most grisly 80s Italian cannibal films.
Okay.
Maybe there was a cut one in the US.
Yeah, I might have been seeing the cut one. I remember Donald Pleasance. It's Donald Pleasance, Stuart Whitman. I'm very excited to pick it up. So, yeah, I was trying to remember. It might have been like a little bit like Massacre in Dinosaur Valley kind of vibe where it did have that, but then it was not just. But yeah. I'm very excited to see that again, especially if maybe I saw a cut version.
Right. I was hoping for a Prom Night sequel set or mm-hmm. a Black Emmanuel set, which I know someone has to be doing it. The first one's not,
got two of those coming at least.
Yeah. Those are some of the later ones. Oh my God. I want, you know, at our next live show, I want to bring that up. But yeah, I don't know. And we have two of the announced ones, they're on the Everything Halfway to Black Friday sale. The other two that weren't announced, that won't be announced until Black Friday, are another 4K UHD Blu-ray set and a Blu-ray release. I want to say one of them is a VSA release. I could have swore they announced that one of them was going to be. So we'll find out.
Yeah, I know there was that speculation that there's one that's like massive. So my head's kind of running like what it could be. I would look. I'll say the same thing about Prom Night as I did with Beastmaster 2. Give me Prom Night 2. I will be happy.
That's why I said do the set, dude. Like the Amityville set, just give me the set, because I really want. Well, 2 is my favorite of the series, but I really want 3. I like my order of liking the series is 2, 3, 1, 4. So that tells you something.
Dude, I love Prom Night 2 so much. The first good interview I think I did with Bruce Pittman, the director, was with Prom Night 2. And I love that movie. I can go back and watch that better than the original. Sorry, Jamie Lee Curtis fans. I think that could have found it could have been so much more, I think, if it had just gone with the original, because it wasn't supposed to be a sequel to Prom Night. So, anyways, another one. Hopefully we'll get to
it. You know, it's one of those cases where that could have got more eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we know if it's a 4K Prom Night 2, I might explode. So
it's one of the ones that's left that's super high on my Blu-ray want list. Well, 4K would be even better, but I mean, you got Michael Ironside. That movie that has everything. That is just a perfect. No, I fuck it. It is a perfect movie for me. I love
now,
Prom Night.
Now too. I want to do a watch along for Prom Night.
Dude, I'm down. I love
Prom. It's Night. On Shudder. It may happen sooner than later.
Yeah. And Bruce Pittman, very nice guy. I should look him up again. Right. But anyways,
yeah, on that note.
Yes. So be sure to like, share, subscribe, and hit that notification bell here on YouTube. Special thanks for all of you who joined us for our 500th episode. If you haven't seen that yet, go back and watch it. It's a lot of fun seeing some old friends, and we've got some old friends and new friends that might be popping on here soon. Patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. All starts at $1. Exclusive, early, uncensored content. We got some new stuff up now, and we got some more new stuff that will be going up very, very soon. So
you can watch the watch along of the worst movie ever made, Axum, or you can argue it's not. That's currently on Patreon. We did that live. We did that live immediately following the 500.
We all kind of look like soldiers being airbacked off the battlefield.
Yeah, I'm apologizing like 90% of it. It's just, if you make it through the whole thing, let me know and we'll give you some sort of shout out.
Yeah, we got to give you a sticker or something if you can prove that you watched all of Axum. Well, but you get to hear us talk during it, at least.
We know Darren did, so you're a trooper.
Yes.
But on that note, we should probably get out of here.
Absolutely. Good night, guys, and we will see you next time. Guten Tag.
Heil Shine.